A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
J-Rod Concerts family, welcome to a new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. This is your host, Jamie Rodriguez. This is in every episode. How is everybody doing? Thank you for tuning in. Really appreciate your support, guys. As we continue to deep dive into the connections of South by Southwest 2024. Today's guest, ladies and gentlemen, she's incredible. Incredible. We made an instant connection. Her music just blew us away from the get-go. Her name is Sarah Klang, with a K. She is from Gothenburg, Sweden. And since her debut in 2016, she's racked up 2 Swedish Grammy wins, countless nominations, and overwhelming praise in all sorts of press, such as the Sunday Times, Rolling Stone, and more. In recent years, her name has really, grown a lot. She sold out shows in London, Amsterdam, Oslo, Stockholm, and she was one of the cream of the crops here in Austin, Texas. So we're so glad we got to connect. She just released a new single, Strange, and she's got new music coming out this year. But last year, she released an album that, oh my God, it's called Mercedes. It was her 4th, and it was all about motherhood. And man, did it give us the shivers. We talk about it in this episode. So welcome to a new episode. Thank you for joining. This is Sarah Klang on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Sarah, I am obsessed with Mercedes. You have no idea, with the album.
Really?
I have been listening to it for like 3 weeks since I knew I was going to talk to you, and I've got into this rabbit hole of your songs.
Yeah.
It's basically, I am Sarah Klang. Like,
I feel the connection.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's such a powerful album. But all kidding aside, you know what I was thinking, Sarah? If I was an artist, a singer, songwriter, and I came up with an album like that one, I would be so afraid of like the next chapter. Because that's like, to me, a masterpiece. When you write something like that, something as special as that, is it easy to turn the page as an artist?
Yeah. I always turn the page like really quickly. Yeah. Just because, I don't know, like I always write about stuff that's happening right now. And then as I do that, it makes me go back to certain points of my life, I've noticed. I try to make up stories, like make up fake stories and the happenings in my life, but it never really worked. And I don't know, when I do an album, I really don't see it like as my, what do you say, like my opus?
My magnus opus.
I always feel like my magnus opus is like the next one, you know?
Sure.
I mean,
that's probably the
best mindset to have as an artist. Yeah, like chasing that.
Yeah.
I feel like every album I do, because Mercedes is like my 4th, because I did one almost every year since I was 24. I feel like I'm going on a path of making like my it album.
Sure, sure. We were excited for whatever's next. I can see it in your eyes that you have something cooking. Exciting. Sarah, also, when I was, listening to your discography and getting into your story, one of the things that struck out the most, and it was actually really inspiring and very, kind of like just life-affirming, was how much you've created light out of challenges in your life.
Well, you?
Yeah, and you've talked about it. In some instances you were bullied, stuff like that. You know, your upbringing was a little wobbly at times, stuff that people deal with.
Yeah.
But the difference is the meaning that you chose to give to this situation.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was really badass, because that can really influence the quality of your life, obviously the quality of your art. Where did that come from, Sarah? Like the fact that life does not happen to you, it happens for you.
Right. I mean, I don't think I live by that. Like, I definitely have like sides of me that are just like very like slow and depressive also. But I always had a hard work moral, to go forward in life. And I was I was never good at school. My grades were really bad, and I never saw myself as a study person. So when I discovered that I had some sort of talent, like, I grabbed that talent and I hold on to it extremely hard, because I just knew that if I wanted to go forward in life and like go to places that I would like to see, I knew that I was going to have to push that like really hard. And I also had it from, I think, my background. My parents are working class. They don't like have nice educations, but they worked extremely hard in what they do. Like, my dad always had restaurants, but he worked a lot. And I just see, like, if you work a lot, you will see some sort of, some sort of payoff, I guess. Yeah. I think if you want to make music as a living, I think it's important to see it kind of like a company, or like you're,
right,
even if it sounds very unsexy and maybe not as artsy, you know, for me, I have to see it like my company. Yeah. Like, I have to evolve and push it forward.
Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah, but and I think if you had a tough upbringing, some people go another direction where they...
Most people let it define them. You didn't.
Yeah. But I think art is common to be made by people that maybe like went through things. Yeah. It came naturally to me, but after it came naturally, I went with it and hit the floor running, I think.
Sure. One of the things I love about your last album is how, you know, raw and openly you talk about motherhood, obviously. Because I wouldn't know about that. I'm not a father either, but guys, in general, people don't know unless you live it.
Cool.
You have a prolific career, like you said, for coming up on your fifth album. How has your company, if you will, change or your creative change as a mother? Like, right now, for example, right now, you know, you're doing an interview, part of your company, you probably miss Mercedes, you miss your...
Yeah.
Like, how has motherhood kind of changed all these things, all these trips?
For me, I think it's changed in a way where I am more dedicated making it work and getting forward in my career, because, like, now I feel, like, scared of not being able to provide for my family. So it's been, and like, that's a blessing and a curse to feel stressed out, you know, because I don't really have anything to fall back on, and of course I want to like give my daughter a nice upbringing. It made me take things more seriously, I think, which is a good thing for me. I started like doing the whole music thing full time when I was maybe 23. And those first 4 years were very much just like hold on to the hat and go and like party and do all the things for the first time. Sure. And I'm very glad for those years that I did them. But like now, I think I see it more as my profession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very professional. Well, yeah.
I am.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course. Just the way you look at it, like a corporate.
Yeah, the way I look at it, and also becoming a parent for me, it's just, I guess, like, you can't do certain things anymore. So you have to be a little bit more grown up, I guess. Yeah, it helped me grow up. But also, like, I turned 30 when I had my daughter, so it was time for me to like, stop doing certain things and be... like more grown up, you know. So it was a good thing for me.
Your songwriting is so good, Sarah.
Thank you.
I know you have a lot going on, but I want to ask you about the writing on Mercedes, because every word in that album is perfect, but Mercedes in specific, I love the story of how it came like so freely to you when you were pregnant. Have you found out that that's kind of like you know, I'm always fascinated when I hear that, like, Paul McCartney found, like, yesterday at 3 a.m, and he just went, like, and played it in the piano, he forgot. Have you found that this is kind of like how, like, the magic songs in your repertoire come?
Yeah, my best songs, or the songs that people tend to love the most, are probably songs that happen that way because they're so naturally made. And I've learned through the years of writing that if you get an idea, like, don't sleep on it, because it won't come back to you. Like, you have to do it then. That's something that really, it's a bit scary in music, because some of the songs that I made with, like, my producer or my guitarist Theo or Kevin, like, they happen by coincidence. Like, we say, let's go out and take a coffee in another room, and we go out and there's a piano and someone starts playing something, and then that's where the songs happen. Yeah. And that scares me, because I'm like, how many of those songs have I missed? Like, how many, you know, because they just happen. You can't really plan it. Like, you can plan to have writing sessions and you can grind a session. But for me, I think the best songs are just the ones that comes to you easily.
Sure. Yeah. Love it. Let me leave you with this, Sarah. I'm generally curious about, you know, the Sweden and Gothenburg, like, music scene, because so many great talents have come out of there.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this when I was listening to all your stuff. I mean, we were talking a little off camera about Gothenburg and kind of like the culture by the water and all that.
Oh.
But tell me a little bit about your artistic upbringing, like, kind of like the scene. What kind of, like, inspires, like, such great art out of Sweden?
I don't really know what it is about Sweden in general. Like, for me, I talked with a friend, like, when I started going more over here in America to write, I noticed, like, how big ABBA is, really.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand it when you're in Sweden, but when you come here, the first thing all the musicians you meet is they want to talk about ABBA. Like, that's why I started music. That was my first song. This is my favorite song. So I think, like, that has a big impact in Sweden. But I grew up, when I was a teenager, like in my late teens, where I really was that's kind of the age where you just are so touched by music in a way. Like, sometimes I'm sad because I'm never gonna feel that way about music again.
Sure.
Like, the
right.
Like, that's why bands have teenagers in front of the stage. That's because, like, they are the main people that can feel, you know.
Wow, that's so true.
Or they are.
Who was that for you?
Yeah, that was where I was going, I think, because in that time in Sweden, there was this huge, Americana indie wave. There were Fleet Foxes, Band of Horses, First Aid Kit came. What more? Beach House came, like, all these cool indie pop, but also kind of Americana influenced things came. And it was just extremely cool and fun. Bon Iver and stuff like that. Like, there was a new genre that just were created. And that was, I mean, it blew my mind. And it became the soundtrack for so many important things. Like, in that age, you're so dramatic, you know? So having a soundtrack to that is very important.
Yeah,
I remember that. It's called A Funeral and stuff, and it just moved me in a way. And then, I mean, it goes and comes with different kind of genres that are in and out. But that time was really just made me want to do music, I guess.
Well, glad you did it. Then thank you, Sarah, for what you do, because your part is... It's in there.
Oh, thank you.
And the cream always rises to the top, so
yeah.
I can't wait for your next album and your next project. And you have a Nashville championing here, so thank you.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.